Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We have today and tomorrow and then a big weekend of football coming your way. But it was a big night of football last night, especially in Germany. Bayern taking on Dortmund, and we said that we had one of the very best joining us on the show. Unfortunately, I had to cancel, but we were able to bring in Kit Holden instead to join us here on World Football Daily to talk all things German football today. Kit, how are you doing, my man?
Oh, not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Very, very happy to hear your voice down the line, that's for sure, especially after some of the things that Raf has been saying today. It's it's reassuring to have a sane English voice on the phone right now, mate. You were obviously watching Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund last night in the German Cup, and really, yeah. Bayern just unstoppable at this moment in time.
At this moment in time, yeah. I mean, it was kind of a telling comment from Uli Hoeneß after the game where he said, the balance of power has changed. We're now the top team in Germany. And then he added at the end of the sentence, in this year, which was kind of unlike Uli Hoeneß, because normally he'd be very keen to say that, you know, this was a massive turnaround and Bayern were once again the best team ever and will be forever. But right now, in this moment, definitely they're unstoppable. I mean, the 17-point gap at the top of the league shows that. And the performance last night was, I think generally everyone agreed that 1-0 didn't really do it. Dortmund didn't play appallingly badly, but Bayern were by far and away the better team.
Is that kind of comment of this year we're the kind of the best side in Germany at the moment, is that a telling sign that Bayern have realised how much effort, how much spending it's taken to get themselves to this position ahead by leaps and bounds at the moment ahead of Dortmund?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a realisation. I mean, another thing Hoeneß said was that he said that there was a good thing that Dortmund had come up and a new team had come to challenge Bayern, because it's that raised their level. And I think that's true. It's, you know, it's like the thing we see in tennis with Djokovic and Federer and Nadal. They all kind of push each other to become even better. And that has happened with Bayern. And I think there's also a slight realisation. Rummenigge was also very keen to say that, you know, they were showing a lot of respect to Dortmund. They weren't going to gloat over the victory and be arrogant. And there's a realisation that you know, the classic Bayern confidence and arrogance has to come with sort of application and a real kind of sense of professionalism. And that's what they've done this year. And I think Matthias Sammer has changed that quite a lot. It's not just the spending. I mean, if you think one of the big players who's changed Bayern has been Dante, and they got him for less than 5 million euros. So it's not a case that they've bought the title, but there's been a massive change in mentality around the club. And I think Hoeneß is right to say that the effect of Dortmund's success in the last few years has kind of brought that on, it's kind of hurt Bayern and inspired them to really up their game.
With this new inspiration, with this maybe slightly more matured mentality at the club, are people talking about how much history this Bayern team can make yet in Germany?
Not really. I mean, the talk at the moment is whether or not Pep Guardiola is actually going to come in and have to try and take over a team that's just won the treble. I mean, people are kind of thinking, well, you know, they didn't win a title last year. This is Heinkes' last year in charge, and they look pretty set in all three competitions to go a very, very long way. And it could be the case that Guardiola, the big, you know, man who's allegedly coming in to make Bayern the best team in the world, could. And so I think that's the talk at the moment. I mean, it's still that's a little bit, you know, far in the future, and I think everyone around the club will be very keen to sort of play that down, because, you know, they saw this time last year they weren't in a terrible situation. They were on their way to the Champions League final. They were in the title race, and you know, they could have won the treble last year if things had gone their way and if the mentality had been a bit different. So I think that they'll be keen to play that down until you know, the judgment days, as it were. So yeah, I mean, the talk is very much positive, and that, yeah, unstoppable Bayern, etc. But the way they've gone about this season, it doesn't seem to me like that they're going to kind of get ahead of themselves or end up shooting themselves in the foot too much.
Do you think that's a nightmare situation for Pep Guardiola going in after they've won the treble? Or do you think it might be easier for him because it's so difficult to repeat winning the Champions League, as we've seen, and it's difficult to repeat a sort of feat like a treble straight away? So the pressure would be off slightly.
It might relieve the pressure a little. I don't think that will happen, frankly, because I think Pep Guardiola is going to take time to really make Bayern into a fantastic side in his philosophy, that kind of passing, controlling the game through midfield. It's not quite tiki taka, but it's nearly there. But he will have to adapt, and the team adapts, and the team will have to adapt to him. So he will take time, and I think it'll be tough for him. I don't think it'll be an impossible challenge, and I don't think it'll be a bad thing for Bayern to win the treble, because that's never going to be the case. But I think it'll be tougher for him coming in off the back of a successful season in which they were to win three trophies. because Bayern, the whole nature of that club is that you have to win, you have to keep at the level you're at the very, very least. You know, if you drop a little bit, then the pressure suddenly mounts a huge amount. And then that's when the press start going at you. That's when they pick up on things like, you know, if his German isn't perfect, or if he's picked a certain player or bought a certain player, and that's when the pressure could tell on him. If Bayern drop off a bit in the early part of his reign, from the high level they're playing at the moment. But I don't think that'll be the case. I think he'll come in. I think he's obviously got, you know, a very, very strong plan. I think the Bayern board have, you know, are still probably discussing with him now, and they've got a really good long-term plan for the next season and the years ahead with Guardiola. So I don't think he'll crumble under the pressure, but I don't think coming in on the back of a treble season would be a good thing for him, if you like, or a positive kind of.
It's a worrying thought for anybody around Europe, especially when you see how well they're playing this season. Bayern. Robin last night, I thought, was excellent out on the flanks. He was dropped and came off for the bench in the Arsenal game, and he's obviously been out a lot with injury, but not been put straight back into the side every time. How much is that a kind of carrot on a stick for him to get the best out of him, to maybe be a little more unselfish at times this season?
It kind of is. I mean, it's also partly just a tactical thing, and it's just the fact that Heynckes likes to play Kroos as an attacking midfielder rather than a defensive midfielder. He's got Martinez as a defensive midfielder alongside Schweinsteiger, so Müller gets pushed out to the right, and when Müller performs, there's no space for Robin, particularly when he's getting injured all the time. So it's partly just the case that there is no space for him in the team normally. But I think it has galvanised him a little bit. I mean, particularly after last season when, you know, they played after the Champions League final, they played a friendly against Holland. And he played for Holland, and the entire Bayern fans just booed him for the whole game, because he'd obviously, you know, missed all these penalties at the end of the season in big games. And it's been, yeah, last year was a tough year for him, obviously. And so I think just not being in the team and having to fight has galvanised him a bit. I mean, you can never tell with Robin. I mean, you know, some days it seems like, you know, if you don't pick him, he'll disappear and get in a sulk. And other days it seems like it's a good tactic because he comes back and performs like he did last night. And you know, in the last few games that he's played, he's been really effective, and looked like a player who's willing to prove himself. So clearly, whatever Heynckes is doing, it's paying off at the moment.
Are we being too harsh on Borussia Dortmund at the moment this season? We've been critical about their domestic form, and of course they've done very well in the Champions League this year. But are we being overly critical because we're comparing them to this Bayern side a lot at the moment?
I think that's the case a little bit. I mean, they have been not as dominant, obviously, in the league, and not as kind of, you know, when they come up and when you see them walk out to play, you don't get the feeling that you got in the last few years that this. I think they've got as good as, if not a better, record against the top five as Bayern have this year. I can't remember the exact stat, but you know, they're not kind of lagging behind them in you know, kind of to a great extent. I think it's just that they've had the odd day, like we saw against Hamburg a couple of weeks ago, where they just haven't been there and there's just been something missing. And Neven Subotic said after the game last night, you know, you can't win the title every year, and that is true. That's, you know, and the fact that Dortmund, with the resources they have and with the philosophy they have been able to stay at the top now for 3 years in a row. Okay, not at the top this year, but you know, they're up there, they're second, and they're doing well in the Champions League, as you say, is still a massive achievement. So I can't see Dortmund sort of, I can't see the logic in saying they've been terrible this year, because they haven't. I mean, Bayern have just been out of this world at times, and they've obviously, Dortmund have suffered for that, as have other teams in the league.
It's you can't win the title every single season, except for maybe in 5 years' time when we have a look and see that Bayern have probably won the next five in Germany. Looking at the lower part of the table, Wolfsburg and Stuttgart both still in the German Cup after their wins on Tuesday and Wednesday night, respectively. Is this going to be a problem for their battle against relegation this season, Kit, the German Cup still being in and around their heads a bit?
I don't think so, because, I mean, if you look at the actual table, although Wolfsburg have won place above the relegation playoff place, they're I think they're about 8 points clear of it. I mean, it really is a case that you've got the three teams at the bottom, Fürth, Augsburg and Hoffenheim, who are battling out to get that playoff place, and then the rest, Wolfsburg, I think, are as close to European football as they are to relegation at the moment. So I shouldn't think, unless, you know, something goes horribly wrong, I shouldn't think the cup will have that big an effect on their safety hopes, if you like, because they should be fine. What will be interesting will be that Freiburg obviously have now a good chance to get to the final, and if they do, regardless of whether they win or not, it could be the case that the seventh place in the Bundesliga opens up as another UEFA Cup spot if Freiburg get theirs through the league and the cup. So you could have a much more exciting European run where teams like Hannover and Schalke and Mainz and Gladbach are more kind of have even more chance of getting into Europe because there's more league places on offer. So I think that'll be the effect of the cup in the long run for the league, and that can only be a good thing because it is very convoluted in that mid table, and a couple of results for one team that don't go their way can drop them from, you know, fifth to 12th in a couple of weeks and vice versa. So yeah, I think the UEFA Cup sort of the race for European spots will be affected by the cup, but I don't think the relegation battle will have that big an effect.
Are you writing Goethe Fürth off now, Kit, already? I mean, 3 points off Hoffenheim in 17th and another 2 points off that off Augsburg. Is Goethe Fürth done now for the season?
You'd think so, but having said that, I mean, you know, all those three teams have really been poor this year. They've had the flashes of you know, strong performances every now and then, but they just haven't hit the mark. And you know, there are a few months left in the season, and I don't think any of those teams can realistically start talking about guaranteed safety. I think that all their aims will be to get that relegation playoff place and give themselves half a chance. But yeah, I mean, if you had to pick one of the teams that would definitely be going down, it would definitely be Fürth. I mean, they haven't adapted to the Bundesliga quick enough. Mike Buskins, to be honest, it seemed a very, very strange time to fire Mike Buskins because it's late in the season. It was midweek. I mean, you know, and no caretaker manager is going to come in and save Fürth in that situation. And I think, yeah, that was a bit of a kind of shotgun decision, but. Yeah, I can't see Fürth staying up, sadly. I mean, it would be great to see them do it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Just finally, Kit, before we let you go, Eintracht Frankfurt, it's the Cinderella story of this season, really, the side that were in Bundesliga 2 last season. Sorry, I'm getting into French football already after last night's PSG game. This potential birth into Champions League qualification, at least, are people waiting for this Cinderella story to slip up? With Freiburg playing well at the moment and Hamburg closely following behind in sixth, are people just kind of waiting for Frankfurt to finally crumble as the season draws to a close with the pressure on them?
I think it's kind of mixed. I mean, obviously that's a possibility. But at the same time, I mean, Armin Fee has gone about this season, you know, brilliantly. I mean, actually, Frankfurt have, you know, they've been a surprise, obviously, and they get about every game in the same way with the same positivity and the same belief. And yeah, I mean, I think what's most likely, actually, and what most people predict is that they do get that fourth spot. Do a Gladbach, and it turns out that they're not quite as good as they were last year, and they end up getting knocked out in the qualifying rounds. I think that's probably the thing that most people are predicting, but. Having said that, I mean, as I said before, that European race is so finely balanced at the moment, and there are four or five teams who in the next few months could suddenly go on a surge or a great big kind of fall from grace, and suddenly you could see a team like, as you say, Freiburg, Hamburg, Hannover, Mainz get going for that fourth spot, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, Frankfurt have almost kind of opened it up a little bit more because last year it was a bit of a kind of, you know, the top four were set in stone from about January time. But that's not, they've helped the Bundesliga in that respect, and I think they can keep it up because I think Faye has instilled a really good kind of mentality in that side.
Kit, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. We always enjoy getting into a bit of Bundesliga with you, man. There is plenty to fight for still in German football, but the title race and surely the German Cup is over now. But we will be getting you back on the show before the end of the season to have a look at the rest of the European placings and, of course, that relegation playoff position battle as well, mate. Take care and have a fantastic afternoon.
All the best.
Cheers there. Kit Holden joining us here on World Football Daily talking a bit of Bundesliga football. You can follow Kit at K-I-T Holden. That's at Kit Holden, capital K, capital H on Twitter. And it's always a pleasure to get into a little bit of Bundesliga with the man who knows so, so much about it. I love getting Kit on the show, man. It's always just very nice and relaxed. It's a great, great first guest to get on the show as well in terms of just easing your way into the big stories from last night. Of course, the big story in German football.
And how timely, obviously. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back for that one again. You know, who doesn't want to talk German football, you know, after the German Cup matches last night? It was just good timing. And like you said, it is a great warm-up for the next one who we have on the show, which, I mean, I'm more than excited just to sit back and listen to this interview for, like, three more times today, I think.
Yeah, you'll be repeating Mr. Vickery when he comes on to talk South American football, and especially Copa Libertadores after the quick break that we'll have in just a moment. I'll tell you, there's somebody who won't want to be talking German football today, and that'll be anybody who was involved in that Dortmund side last night. It was a very, very disappointing performance indeed. Iron Robin was fantastic on the flanks, and Schweinsteiger and Martinez, that defensive midfield pairing is just a rock, an absolute rock solid. It gives Robin, Kroos and Müller last night so much freedom to just kind of do what they wanted, really. Mandzukic, obviously the ever-present forward up there for Bayern Munich, and still having a fantastic season, although didn't get on the score sheet last night. Robin's goal, I mean, you don't get the ball much further in the top corner than that. Just wonderful strike.
What is it about this Bayern Munich side? Because isn't it the same side basically as last year and for the most part the last couple of years?
Well, no, because you've got Alaba, who's not a youngster now and is really getting into, not maybe his prime, of course he's still a youngster, but he's playing with that confidence and swagger and obviously so capable at that left back position. We saw him coming through last year. They brought in Dante as Kit said, and Xabi Martinez as well, just bolstering that midfield. They've got so many options up front, you know. It's no longer just Gomez. They can bring in Mandzukic. They got Pizarro there as well, if need be. It's the depth that this side has. It doesn't lose a step when it brings in players. And, of course, Müller has been fantastic out on the right flanks. Kroos moved into that more attacking position this season. It's they can move so many of these players around and still not lose an inch on their pace. And they are so quick. They're so good at getting forward quickly and then and getting back as well and marking and defending in numbers before bursting straight back out onto the attack once again. That's the thing that worries me about this Munich side. Just the pure blistering pace that runs through it. Absolutely phenomenal to watch. It was an absolute pleasure. I think it was on the WFD Twitter page last night. Watching Bayern Munich is like watching football porn at the moment. It just doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better at all. It does get better, though, on World Football Daily today, Raf. I don't know. That's actually kind of harsh on Kit, I think. Tim Vickery is, of course, Tim Vickery, the man of all things South American football, man. But I love getting Kit on.
Yeah, I see where you're going. But
phenomenal,
I mean,
phenomenal German Kit, journalist there, man.
And yeah, Kit's a young man. I think he understands and realizes the length and breadth of the career and portfolio of Mr. Tim Vickery. I mean, really, look. Just look at what Vickery has done. Look at his career. Look at his CV, man. Look at what he's given back to the footballing world. I'm sure Kit understands his place in the hierarchy of World Football Daily guests.
I'm telling you now. I'm gonna say it now. Kit Holden, the next Tim Vickery of German football. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no. I like to think that all of our guests are essentially kind of on the path of reaching
Vickeryhood. Vickeryhood.
The pinnacle, which is Tim Vickery. Yes, absolutely. And they are all kind of like, you know, the French football Tim Vickery, the Spanish football Tim Vickery. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Hey, Raph.
Kristen Hennage is turning into the English football Tim Vickery almost. I mean, he's working on it, man.
I can tell, mate, that you are giddy like a little schoolgirl right now at the prospect of getting Tim on. So let's waste no more time. Let's get into a little bit of South American football. And when we come back after this break, the man that is Tim Vickery, the man that Rafa just has I'm going to say it, Raf, it's a man crush, will be joining us right here on World Football Daily when we come back from this very brief break.